saw what you did. I saw it with my own two eyes.
All that is necessary for evil to prosper is for good men or Phil Collins to do nothing.
Or his
friend. We find out just before recording today that for your hump day episode, as it were, that Micah knows a bunch of depressing stories to tell us before we record a happy show.
About classic rock.
Yeah.
But this isn't supposed to be a happy show anyway, so I think Micah really set the mood, because this is it. This is when shit goes down. You know, Theon shows his true colors.
Yes, Alebelly is dead, everybody.
Well, yeah, I hate that.
So we'll
find out until
Mickin.
Later, but wait just to drop it. Let's just talk about everything bad right now.
Let's get this out of our system. Alebelly is dead. Hodor's face is smashed in. Mickin, dead. Probably
dead.
Drowned on his own blood.
He was stabbed through the back of the neck with a spear point.
What would you do?
I know.
Well,
when my friends don't shut up, I just embrace it.
You embrace them or it?
I wouldn't stab them.
So would you embrace us transitioning into talk about Theon taking over Winterfell and being the ass we all know he is?
I would if there wasn't such an amazing sequence at the very beginning of the chapter featuring Bran inside of his wolf.
Well, that is amazing. See, I was not expecting this chapter to happen just now because it's a Bran chapter. We've had Theon chapters in this book, and I just assumed the chapter when he sacks Winterfell would be a Theon one.
That's actually a very good point, Eric. I was wondering the same thing. I don't mind this part being from Bran's perspective, but I was really missing something leading up to them taking Winterfell from Theon's perspective. Kind of like a Catelyn chapter, like setting it all up. But I guess it did make it surprising, because if it was Theon's perspective, we would have obviously known it was coming, but because it was Bran's, you didn't know it was coming.
But otherwise, it just starts out like a regular Bran chapter. He's inside his wolf. He's padding along in the forest. There's a fence he can't get into because he doesn't have opposable thumbs. He's not tall enough. And he can't climb a tree. That's the last five Bran chapters.
Until it kind of worries me. I wonder why Summer. Jesus Christ. Why Summer couldn't...
Keep going.
Why Summer couldn't...
Flash.
Spider-Man. Okay. Why Summer could not sense that the people were coming. You know, all those people, they must smell of the sea or something. It should have been in the air tonight. But I'm bummed.
They should have felt
I'm
it
so
coming.
Excited. I know.
Yes, nice. This song is going to be here throughout the episode.
We're
going to have
the episode
chapter.
Today for best callback to beginning of the episode.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Well, I think that's exactly why this chapter had to be from Bran's perspective, was because how else would you really get an interesting look inside somebody taking over Winterfell? I mean, I just don't see it being as interesting coming from, let's say, Theon's perspective, because with Bran, you get inside of Summer, but then you also are able to tie back to what Jojen told him a couple of chapters ago.
Very true.
Which was that, you know, this sea was going to come over the walls of Winterfell, and it's proven true, even in that moment.
The moment that you've been waiting for
all your life.
And then they all drown.
Is that where you paused?
Someone drowned in the story.
Even in that moment between Bran and Jojen, you know, where Jojen just kind of looks at him as they're entering the hall to basically say in no words at all, but, hey, I told you so, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that look.
Quiet up, you frog eater.
No.
Oh, man, the Walders were so happy about this. They were like, Bran, I guess what this means, buddy, that we don't like is you're not a prince any longer. You're just a hostage. So, sorry.
And Bran was like, so are you, and you smell.
It's just schadenfreude or whatever it's called. Yeah. It's just like they're so jealous of Bran. Damn phrase.
I can feel it coming in the... Okay, go on.
I can hear the train coming in the air tonight.
Oh, Lord.
I just thought it was the coolest thing. Like, Bran is looking out his window and there's still doubt. He wakes up. Dogs are howling from his dream because he howled earlier. And basically just somebody comes into his room and it's not who he's expecting. And all of a sudden, Theon shows up. And he's
and
just like,
such a bitch.
Hey, Bran, what's up? And he just sits down on his bed. And Bran's in bed, and he's like, so you're going to yield Winterfell to me.
He's such a douche. I can't. I mean, even if you like Theon, and even if you feel bad for him because of what happens later, in this moment, he's a douche. You have to admit it. You have to.
Do I?
Yes, you do.
Do I?
You do.
Because
you
I was
do.
Looking forward to the prospect, and this is way too soon in this episode, but I am so glad that I can give Theon an own without breaking my own rule. Uh-huh. This chapter. Well, that was the best part of it being a Bran chapter.
Theon has been waiting for this moment for all his life.
I have been waiting for this moment. But it's true. Look, Theon, and there are many other examples in this chapter where he not only causes a lot of strife and is a douche or an asshole, whatever you call him, but seals his own fate in many ways, like giving a sword to Reek. But, you know, what are you going to do? It just kind of, it's a train wreck. You can't look away, right? It's just like, what's going to happen now? And, you know, fortunately, look, I know we've seen the TV show. So a lot of the suspense, maybe it is ruined really for us here in terms of, do we really fear for Bran's life? Because it seems like if Bran yields Winterfell, I don't think Theon ever makes any promises, but you just don't think that anything's going to happen. In fact, Theon doesn't want any death count. He's the one telling Bran, oh yeah, you should yield because then a lot of people will be saved. And even Lewin can't disagree. He's like, you got to do what's best for the little people on behalf of the little people. So I think there doesn't appear to be this great threat of bloodshed with the exception of the people who've obviously died defending Winterfell. You know, the handful of guards that there were. Although most of Winterfell is vacant, it seems like it's a service that Theon did, you know, to them, getting all their men out of Winterfell before taking it over. Of course, it's cowardly because that's the only time he could take Winterfell over. But, you know, perhaps there hasn't been as much bloodshed as there could have been so far.
Well, there's still fighting going on.
That's a way to look at it.
It's not like there's not a battle taking place at Torrhen Square.
I see.
So, yes, You're trying to paint him in this semi-good light here, and I'm sorry, it's not going to work.
No.
It's not.
It's what I will say is it is smart, it's tactical, and it works. And, you know, we hear about Dagmar Clefjaw being the one leading the charge down in Torrhen Square, but I think on the part of advisors like Roderick Cassell and Maester Lewin, to leave Winterfell unprotected is absolutely moronic, and I can't really believe that they did it. And I don't care how protected it is in terms of its walls. It's still something that you wouldn't expect to happen.
But it's just so, like, what did they think that nobody, that everyone else was so busy fighting a war that they wouldn't think to come there and take Winterfell? Like, I don't understand why they wouldn't. I know they need men for the war, and I know they're thinking, if we lose the war, all is lost, so we might as well go all out. But they must know if they lose Winterfell, it's all over too. I mean, the other troops should withdraw if they're losing the wall and protect Winterfell. No, the war, not the wall.
Well, I really think it's a conflict, or it's just interesting to see different people view the importance of Winterfell differently. The people north of the wall, is it Corrin Halfhand who says, oh yeah, the people from Winterfell, they're our best bet. You know, they're going to help us out if we ever need anything north of the wall here where we are. But Catelyn notes in one of her previous chapters, the singers and the people who would normally come to towns and give it some culture don't even bother making the trip all the way up to Winterfell half the time because it's so far north. It's just kind of, it gets forgotten in some crucial ways, like singers not coming. You know, people just don't really think of it where, you know, the people in the north are relying on it. It is that holdfast. It's a very strategically sound place. It's as far as you can go north without, you know, being at the wall. It's the biggest, next biggest thing. So it is strategic. It is important to take, but it's relatively easy because people forget about it. It's up where it's cold. It's not quite the wall, but it's close. You know, people forget about it because it's cold. It's bitter. It's, and for so long, the Starks have not been contested. It's not specifically stated when the last war at Winterfell was, but you can imagine it would have been a couple hundred centuries ago with the old men. And Brandon the Builder had to rebuild.
But to me, I don't want to say it's stupid, but it's not smart because Bran is crippled and he's a young kid. Rickon is even younger. And those are the two who would be next in succession if Robb were to die. You want to protect those two kids as much as you possibly can. And to just recklessly go off and fight Dagmar Clefjaw down in Torrhen Square, and I understand that, yes, something needs to be done, but to me, it actually ties back to Catelyn at the end of the last chapter when she was afraid, despite the success that Edmure and Robb were having. It's almost like you said on Monday's episode, she has a sixth sense about her, And I think it relates to her children, and mm-hmm. this is proof of that.
Yeah, true.
I think it comes down to the size of the threat. You know, old Nan went as far as to call Dagmar Cleftjaw a war chief. I just think that they were so shocked and Theon's plan went so well that they didn't really think very much and they sent all that they had to protect somewhere.
Plus, Dagmar Cleftjaw is kind of, you know, he's feared. He's got that name about him. He's a little obscure. You know, why would he be in Torrhen Square? The mystery surrounding it all kind of clouds their judgment. And they have to go to, like, fend him off, and it prevents them from thinking, what does this mean? You know, Balon Greyjoy has, as far as many people are concerned, probably just, you know, withered away and has become a shell of what he once was. True, he tried rebelling once, which means he should pop up on certain people's radar, but it really comes out of the blue. Theon's, and in fact, I mean, I don't even think Balon knows, although Theon says Balon is coming, which is interesting. I wonder if he's told him that he's going to sack Winterfell. Theon has gone off the plan himself, and it strikes everybody kind of in the right way off, you know, as not being something they have prepared for.
One thing just to note there, though, that while you tie it to Balon, this is Theon's plan. This is mm-hmm. not in Balon's plans at all. You know, Theon is taking this upon himself to go and take Winterfell just so that he looks better in the eyes of his father.
Yeah, but doesn't he say in this chapter that his father's coming up, so hasn't he? Do you think at this point he's told him already?
Well, they certainly mm-hmm. know now after he's spoken with Bran, and he didn't make a very bold claim of it when they brought all the people into the hall, so, you know, I'm sure that the word's getting out.
Yeah.
Eric, you actually mentioned before, though, Reek, and...
It's really the story of Theon's overconfidence at this point. He's not being careful. You know? He's like, I just sacked myself a Winterfell. So
I just sacked myself a Winterfell.
So everyone that comes in and offers loyalty, I'm just going to give him a sword. It doesn't matter if you were in the dungeons smelling like 1,000 dungs.
No, smelling like you fucked a pig reeking is what Theon like, says.
That's
no.
what he said.
Yeah. Smelling like you just effed a pig. You know, let's get this man a sword. Come on, he wants to fight for my cause. And this is just the moment where, knowing who Reek really is and knowing what is about to happen, the fact that Theon frees this man, gives him a sword to fight with, is very, extremely poetic irony. Or dramatic irony, I guess. It's
so,
poetic.
This chapter just, excuse my pun, reeks of foreshadowing. Like, it's just insane. Like, it's, you know, when you know what's happening, I love it. Because that doesn't happen until much later in the books. Everything with Reek and Theon. So the fact that George R. R. Martin is clearly setting it up now, and it's clearly like, you know, you can just see himself giggling to himself when he's writing this, you know?
Yeah.
It's well, true.
And it's mostly because the dialogue that they're having
together.
Yeah,
like how Theon comments on his smell, and he's like, you know, I...
It's great because in the show, we didn't really get to have this part of it. But here in the book, we get to see that Theon is himself being his douchey, asshole-ish self to this guy. And later on, this guy is going to get some kind of revenge for it. So it reeks, but I mean, it's cool.
He just exudes overconfidence, I feel like, Theon. And even in that scene with Osha, Bran notes that he's really disappointed in her. But you have to wonder, is this another instance of Theon being overconfident?
Oh, yeah.
Knowing Osha and her feelings for Bran and Rickon.
Right. Well, we know because we've seen the show, but
I feel also as an adult, even reading in the child's perspective, we can kind of understand that Bran is seeing this as a real pledge of allegiance to Theon. But, you know, you have to know, using any kind of assembled wit, that these people, Reek and Osha, are doing what they need to do in order to survive while these people are in charge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. And just to touch on what Selena said about Reek, we've seen a lot of these things being included in chapters that, you know, Zach, you pointed out, we didn't necessarily get to see in the TV show. And I think that even goes back to the last chapter with Catelyn, where you're seeing the day-to-day. You're seeing the actual battle plans take shape, and you're seeing some of the actual physical combat as well. Whereas you just can't get all of that, in 10 episodes. It's just impossible. And that's what's so great about going through the books. And also how early a lot of this stuff is happening. You know, I feel like we're getting more than let's say, what we saw on TV in season two.
Oh, well, definitely. And I think that's one of the greatest parts of these books is that everything is such a slow burn and everything is so properly set up, including Bran's warging abilities. And now in this chapter, it just felt so different because I felt like Bran had so much more knowledge about what he's doing. So like when he woke up after the wolf fell out of the tree he was trying to climb that he remembered he could climb as a kid. You know, this is it felt like a much different experience because now that slow burn is getting hotter. Like now, okay, we know that he's actually not really even technically dreaming. He's just running around as a wolf while he sleeps. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. And he even like sits up, brushes himself off and says, I hope Summer didn't hurt himself when he fell.
Yeah, like this is fun.
It's like, he oops, likes it. Remind me to give Summer an extra treat for that. It's like, how would you feel being Summer, like returning to consciousness in midair as you're falling and being like, man, I'm going to kill that kid.
It's true. But you know, it's great. And that's another thing that this sacking of Winterfell serves as well. It's just making Bran 100% confident in what Jojen is saying to him. Because he knows now that Jojen sees what's happening.
Yeah, he points it out. Every time somebody gets news of somebody else's death, he's like, oh yeah, Jojen predicted that.
And poor Bran. Can we just remember that Bran is like an 8-year-old child sitting there watching his friends and family, like the people that it could be his family, be murdered right in front of him?
It is fate. Like, Jesus. He is the king of Winterfell, or the reigning prince. He's the Castellan, whatever they call that. You know, he's in charge of Winterfell. So ultimately, it is his responsibility. I do feel bad that he's 8. And has this responsibility.
Wait, no. I'm just saying the fact that he's seeing these people die right in front of him, that must be terrible. Like, it's not, I don't know about his responsibility. I don't think he can do anything right now. Like, he could do nothing but yield. You know what I mean?
He can choose to yield, or he can choose to incite his people into war with Theon's people.
But he actually, I mean, that's what he would done. And that's what every, like, I think, person's instinct would not be to yield. It would be to try to defend it with whatever way you could. But he does decide to yield. You know, he does try to protect his people. And then still having to see them all be killed. It's just dreadful.
It really is.
One question I had for you guys was, who do you think the voice is in his dream?
It's hard to really gauge, though. I mean, is it his instinct? Is it the three-eyed raven speaking to him? Is he the three-eyed raven? And there's so many questions because
what all is this voice saying? Now, I did certainly read, but I didn't think it was terribly revealing or anything like that.
I mean, I thought so.
So what all does this voice say?
Well, I don't have it memorized.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just said, like, return.
Zach, that was what you're supposed
like
to do for this episode. How did you not... remember?
Yeah, you had lines
exactly
Zach,
what the
on.
Voice was saying.
Shit, let me look it up.
Quiet on set, guys.
But I think it's a guiding voice more than anything else, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It always seems to point them in a direction of either safety or, you know, towards something that needs to be found out. And I don't really know at this point. I don't, like you said, Zach. It could be something that's just kind of his own intuition and his own conscience that's speaking to him, which would be weird to be inside a wolf and then also hearing that wolf's thoughts.
Okay, snarling, I have it here. Snarling, he paced back and forth in front of the gate, then threw itself at it once more. It moved a little and slammed him back. Locked, something whispered. Chained. The voice he did not hear, the scent without a smell. The other ways were closed as well. So something tells him that this
well,
thing
sometimes,
is changed.
So, no, I think that's Bran. I think that's Bran's consciousness. Yeah. I always think that whenever he hears the voice, it's Summer. Bran is in Summer, but his own consciousness is there as well. And that's what Summer is hearing, a voice in his head. It's like both of them are possessing each other.
Yeah, it's like because the wolf doesn't really have the knowledge to go, okay, well, that fence is locked, that gate's locked, so I need to find a way around the gate being locked. But Bran's like, oh, he's bringing his human intelligence to tell him about this lock. He's like, oh, it's locked. So that's cool. I like that.
I just think that there are a lot of interesting theories about that. I mean, one that we didn't bring up is, could it be Jojen? Just because we know that he seems to have this very odd tie to Bran and to the direwolves as well. And he talks about these dreams quite regularly.
I still think it's Bran's own thoughts. But you're right. Maybe it's also Jojen. Maybe it's a mix.
But all in all, I mean, this was a pretty short chapter.
Yeah, but a very eventful one.
Oh, yes.
Very eventful chapter. Lots of things happened. And I think this goes back to kind of what I said in the past about this book when I was talking about, well, I want to see things from Rob's perspective sometimes. And Eric was like, well, I think it would have been cool to see Theon, you know, sneak into Winterfell and capture the city. But this is another one of those chapters where something happened off screen, I guess we could say, or off page. Now we're charged with dealing with that falling action. So it's more story-like and poetic-y this way, I think, if that's a word. Because, you know, the action, it happens.
Agreed.
Agreed.
All right. Well, this is once again, yet again in this week, part of the show where we will transition very, very smoothly into the section where we talk about our owns.
Yes. I have already stated what mine would be, but here's a quote from the book. Bran cupped his hands around his mouth. He's shouting out his window, Hodor! But when the door crashed open behind him, the man who stepped through was no one Bran knew. He wore a leather jerkin sewn with overlapping iron discs and has carried a dirk in one hand and an axe strapped to his back. What do you want? Bran demanded, afraid. This is my room. You get out of here. Theon Greyjoy followed him into the bedchamber. We're not here to harm you, Bran. Theon just walks into the room. He just walks in. It's already been done. He's already taken the city. He just walks into his bedroom and says, "Up." Oh,
I think
running this place
Eric
now.
Is confusing owning with like sucking.
No,
being stupid.
No. Wow, that
Theon
was
just
rough.
Walks into his. Come on, being a Bran, stupid head. Bran is in charge of Winterfell. Bran is in charge of Winterfell. Theon just walks right up, waltzes in his bedroom door. And yeah. Says,
okay.
We've
Bran
taken
doesn't
the city.
Have any legs. Like, it doesn't have use of his legs. It's not a very hard thing to sneak up on him.
I mean, but he just casually waltzes.
He
I am
can because
like
Bran isn't going to charge on him.
I'm imagining like a flowing gown, just like,
oh god.
Actually, I am too, like a dress.
Our listeners are going to literally stab you when they see you. They're going to string you up and go, Theon, lover, and then they'll hurt you.
You'll
but maybe
like,
you'll have
like
your own defenders.
Voodoo doll. Look,
there are hundreds of owns across all sides of the board. Good guys, bad guys, owning each other all the time in this world. I thought the fact that Theon just showed up and walked in the door right then and there, and it was totally unexpected by everybody.
Okay.
That was an own.
I get
fair
it.
Enough.
No, I get it.
I have a counter own to that because I got to give it to the real hero of this chapter, Mickon, who died tragically, who had the most brilliant, which I 100% agree with. When Theon raised his hands for quiet, "You all know me. We know you for a sack of steaming dung," shouted Mickon.
Yep.
"You go, Mickon, forever. Rest in peace." Hashtag.
Rest in peace, Mickon. You will be missed by all.
I have to give my own of this chapter to the raven that safely made it away to White Harbor. Carrying the news of what had just taken place at Winterfell.
Two ravens diverged in the wood.
Only one made it.
Well, my own was exactly the same thing as Selena's, so
yes!
I will bow out
double
this
own.
Chapter. I don't really know what else could be better than that. He shouted at Theon while he sacked Winterfell as he was standing in there with all those nasty men from the Iron Islands. And he said, "You're a sack of steaming dung." So,
yeah.
That's really can't top that. And I welcome you guys to aggregate yourselves in email or Twitter form and try to beat something like that.
Well, guys, I mean, just, you know, so that we're on the same side here, I do agree with you about Mickon owning Theon. But that's the thing about these owns. There are many of them, and they can come from both sides. So, very nicely, we want to remind our listeners that regardless of what you think of Theon Greyjoy or Mickon or Bran or anybody in these chapters of these books that we are reading, you can feel free to submit an own, and you can give anybody the own. You get an own, and you get an own, and you get an own, wherever you want it to go. And of course, do this in remembrance of the own, but also to twitter.com/gameofowns on Twitter. That's our favorite place to collect owns from you. If you have a longer format own, maybe you need to explain a little bit about how much I suck at liking Theon so much. Email us at contact@gameofowns.com. Notice how I'm not giving my personal web address. But additionally, we want to remind you, you can scrawl on our wall, facebook.com/gameofowns, our Facebook wall. We want to see owns on there as well, if possible.
But, you know, you talked a little bit about Facebook and mentioned scrawling upon our wall. And, you know, we did make a post about the chapters we were reading this week. And while it is great that Tanya, Alicia, Jennifer, Alan, Johnny, Meredith, Steven, and Grisha liked this post. We want to know what your owns were. Don't just like
calling
the damn
you
post.
Out by name.
Scroll.
Whoa. It's a serious
scroll
business, guys.
On the
guys.
Damn wall.
It takes a little scrolling to like, I think. Just a little bit.
But it's not what we want, Zach. Come on.
Well, I've got here, I'm reading a message because some people, we've got a handful of messages sent to us. And we've got one here from Stephanie Tinfoil Hat that says, I'm catching up on the podcast. You guys were discussing why they didn't use a Shadow Baby at King's Landing. I'm not sure if someone else has mentioned this, but Melisandre was not at Blackwater Bay Battle. I would like to think that this is why there was no Shadow Baby there. Mm.
Yeah, but the Shadow Baby that attacked Sir Courtney Penrose could have been used at King's Landing. She could have saved it up. Remember, it's mentioned that Stannis didn't really need to take Storm's End. He just wanted to do that to obviously get Edric Storm and then just to have said that he did it.
He didn't back down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, the thing with King's Landing, dude, doesn't Davos convince Stannis to leave Melisandre behind and she's bitter about it and she blames him for it later? But ultimately, like, if she had been like, hey, you know what happened with Sir Courtney Penrose? I can make that happen again at King's Landing. He would have been like, bring her. Shut up, Davos. Yeah, certainly something to keep in mind. So thank you for submitting that to us.
We also get messages like this from Christine Wood. She says, Hodor for the Iron Throne. That's about it. Yeah. That's all we got.
Hodor got some iron in this chapter.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's not cool.
You know, keep in touch with us. That's what these things are made for.
I don't like people who beat up on Hodor. That's just not acceptable.
In his face.
I just wanted to point out, we did get this this cool tweet from LOLO117, who said, listening to the Game of Thrones commentary of Season 1, Episode 1 of Game of Thrones, hopefully will make this hour go really fast.
Wow, we hope it did.
Yeah.
And we have lots more where those came from if you need more hours to pass.
We do. Friday is approaching, and we all know what that means.
Another episode of the show?
Another episode.
What?
That's about it.
You're just full of surprises today.
Oh, I thought we were just going to get shit-faced on Take the Black Stout and record a show and see what happens.
I want to try those so badly, but I'm discriminated against.
It's good.
I'm beyond the wall. There's no stout beyond the wall. Only ice and fire.
And death.
And death. Good night, everybody.
Or good morning. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? This
I
is your racing heart.
Coming in
can
the
you
air
feel
tonight.
It? Can you feel a hit?
Whoa, Lord.
Okay, go on.
That's
start.
A very depressing song, by the way.
I like the song, though.
Yeah.
No, by the one Eric was singing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Phil Collins.
They play that every at Mizzou.
At the zoo?
At Mizzou.
Oh, I thought you were at the zoo.
The zoo, they love it.
Yes.
The only thing cool about that song is the drums. The boom, 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 bo